Hello. Thank you all for being here. I'm Nasos Kladakis, and I'm the product manager of Cloud Identity for Microsoft. So everything that goes under Cloud Identity is my responsibility, like Azure Active Directory, Azure Multi-Factor Authentication, and other similar services. The purpose of this session is, as it says in the title, to explain what Azure Active Directory is all about. I'm pretty sure that the last 2 days here, you are listening about Azure Active Directory all the time. So Azure Active Directory can do this, and domain join to Windows 10, and Azure Active Directory is here, and Office 365, and again and again and again, Azure Active Directory seems to be everywhere. But after having discussions with you, all these different aspects from Azure Active Directory seem to be a little bit confusing. So I will try to explain a few things and be absolutely sure that we are in the same page on Azure Active Directory. First of all, to avoid saying again and again the same things. How many of you were in the keynote and you remember what you see there? Because I know that most of you were at the keynote. So, okay, half the room was at the keynote, and you have a slight idea about Azure Active Directory there. Who was in our yesterday foundation session about enterprise mobility? Okay, so I have to say the same things again, people. I mean, come on. The good thing is that even after this session, you will have the chance to go to other more detailed presentations on different aspects of Azure Active Directory. But I will try to give you the big picture. First of all, I want to start by saying that for us and for Microsoft, hybrid identity, Azure Active Directory as a part of it, is a smaller part of the broader picture of enterprise mobility. And we use Azure Active Directory and hybrid identity to empower enterprise mobility. And by enterprise mobility, we mean all that interaction between users, applications, devices, and data that are all correlated, and the need that people have to access everything from everywhere. This is what enterprise mobility is all about. But although we have a bunch of nice slides that describe the situation, I prefer to use this slide. This slide. The chaotic one. This is how things are today. This is enterprise mobility. People need to access everything from everywhere. And this does not look nice. End users want to access SaaS applications and on-premises applications, and not just Microsoft, all kinds of cloud applications. And in order to do that, they need to access it with a different set of credentials every time from many different devices. And although it seems that end users can find a solution on that and use the same username and password all the time, this is not always easy, because the time will come that they will have to change their password, let's say, for Box. And when they do that, then everything will follow. It will fall. They need to maintain many different passwords to access their applications, and that makes them frustrated. They don't have self-service capabilities. They cannot access their applications with single sign-on. And you know what they do when they're frustrated? They turn back to you, to IT departments. And they say, help us. We created a situation that in many times the IT department wasn't aware of, but now we are in this situation. We are using more SaaS apps than the ones we can handle, so the IT department must come and help us. And the IT departments are trying to keep up and provide single sign-on to this application and self-service capabilities, but it's not always easy. They can provide federation after federation after federation. Recently, we had a discussion with a customer that he admitted that he had created more than 10 different federations to provide single sign-on to SaaS applications. And as you can imagine, this is not optimum. So both IT departments and end users are really dissatisfied, and that ends to businesses, and businesses are not satisfied too. So let's change the chaotic picture and try to put some order and see how Azure Active Directory can put some order in this chaos. So let me try to represent the same picture in a more colorful way. Most of the companies out there today have on-premises identities. We are really lucky because 95% of them are using Active Directory. But also other directories exist out there. So you might be one of these companies that are already using one or even two or more sets of credentials for on-premises applications. And as we said, we tend to use more and more SaaS applications every day. And by SaaS, I don't definitely mean just Microsoft SaaS applications, not Office 365 or Azure-related services, but any kind of SaaS application. From Google to Amazon Web Services, from IBM to Oracle Services. Just name it. You need to access that. And in order to do that, as we said, you have to maintain a bunch of different credentials. You remember the chaotic picture. I think, and Microsoft thinks, that Azure Active Directory can put an order in this chaotic situation. And how we can do that? We guarantee that you have to maintain just one connection, one federation, synchronization, use whatever term you want, but it's just one. You have to maintain one connection between your on-premises directories with Azure AD, a simple connection, and we will take care of everything else. We will synchronize your, we will extend your credentials from on-premises to the cloud, and you have to do nothing for, about that. We will deal with providing single sign-on with all the SaaS applications that are out there. And I'm telling you again, not just Microsoft applications. From Google Apps to Box, from Dropbox to Office 365, we will be the identity broker for you to get single sign-on to these applications. And at the same time, you can still use the same set of credentials, one set of credentials for both on-premises and cloud applications. And you can do that in a very secure and robust way. And that definitely can make IT departments happy. But also, we deal with end users. And we guarantee that we will make them happy too. We will provide the same experience to every end user, no matter from which device he's coming. He will have to go to a single place, and he will be able to access all his applications with single sign-on and a number of self-service capabilities that will make him happy too. This is the big picture of Azure AD. This is the value proposition of Azure Active Directory. A single set of credentials to access all kinds of resources on any public cloud and on premises. How cool is this? Do you need a solution like that? Don't do that. Say yes. Thank you. But again, this is a great picture. But what is Azure Active Directory? What Azure Active Directory means? Because if you think of it, Azure Active Directory, because everyone here knows what Active Directory is like the directory service of Azure. This is definitely not just that. You know that already. Azure Active Directory is more than just a directory service. It's an identity and access management solution. And actually, it is a directory service. Of course, it is a directory service. I mean, it's in the name and it can do that. And you know what? It is the directory service of a few of the most successful SaaS applications out there. It's the directory service of Office 365. And because of that, we support almost 500 million objects. 500 million objects on a cloud directory. We support more than 1.5, almost 2 billion authentications every day. Don't let me fall again. Give me a sign, okay? So, Office 365 is huge, and Azure Active Directory can support it. But again, Azure Active Directory is also an identity and access management solution. We offer security reporting, monitoring, and it is a platform, a rich standard-based platform for developers to use in order to have authentication and authorization to their applications. And let me clarify that a little bit. If you are a developer or a service provider or an ISV, you can build a solution, an application in any cloud. We don't care that much. I mean, build it wherever you want. Azure, Amazon, on-premises, we don't care. We care, but not that much. And you can, when it comes to authentication and authorization, you can rely on Azure AD for that. You can get Azure AD as the module for authentication and authorization in your applications. We can do that too. So it's definitely more than an Active Directory. And you remember that it's not just about Azure. So if you think of it, Azure Active Directory is a type of a misleading name. Okay? I mean, it's not about Azure and it's not the directory. But when you hear Active Directory, because you know what Active Directory means, you get the idea. That's how we think and give this name. Azure Active Directory is coming in three editions. It's the free edition that you get with Office 365 or even without it. It's the basic and premium edition, but I will come to editions later. Now I want to explain all the capabilities. And in order to explain the capabilities, I want to be sure that you have all the means necessary in order to see if you are facing the challenge that I have just described or not. If you are using SaaS applications, business cloud applications or not. So we decided that when we share this story with customers, we have two kinds of customers. Some of them, when you say that value proposition, when you share with them this story, they're just smiling because they know that they're facing the challenge. They know that they have more SaaS applications that they can handle. So they buy that already. But you have another bunch of customers, another part of our customers, and I'm not saying that these customers are among you, that have no clue which SaaS applications are used in their organization. Or have no clue is a really strong word to say. Let's say they don't know exactly how many SaaS applications their end users are using. And we had conversations with customers that were starting like, no, we are not in the public cloud yet. So no one of your end users are using Box or Dropbox? Oh, yes, a little bit. And Twitter and Facebook and Salesforce? Oh, yes, and it's another marketing application that marketing is using. And starting from that, we were ending up finding more than 10 or 20 SaaS applications. So in order to help you identify if you are facing this challenge or not, we came up with a new module on Azure AD. This new module is called Cloud App Discovery. As you can imagine, this module helps you discover cloud applications. And with this module, you can get a report of how many SaaS applications your users are using, which exactly, and actually which users and how much are using these applications. Let me show you a report, a real report of Cloud App Discovery to get the idea. So this is Cloud App Discovery module. In order to get that, you go to appdiscovery.azure.com and you log in with your Azure credentials, the administrative credentials of your Azure Active Directory or your Azure subscription. And you go to the settings tab, you find the agent, you download the agent and you push it through group policies, system center, or Intune to the machines that you want to control, Windows 7 and up. And after a while, when your end user is starting to click on the SaaS applications they use every day, you get a report like that. So for our demo tenant, 68 applications were discovered, and they were used by 19 guys or girls, and 61 of them are completely new to the organization. For the other 7, as you can see here, they have already single sign-on connection. And if you click on the App Discovery tab, you will see that those applications are here one by one with their logos, and also by categories. And you can be sure that if an application is here, a business cloud application appears in this report, it is supported by Azure AD. So you can be sure that if these applications are really important for your organization, we can provide single sign-on to them. And let's see, take an example here. Let's go to Box, let's say. So by clicking to Box, I can get even in more detailed view, and I can see that two of my users are using Box, and they are exchanging something like 600 megabytes in the last 90 days, and you can see when exactly. And if you click on the Users tab, you can even see which users exactly are using that. So you can learn which SaaS applications your users are using, how much, and who exactly did what when it comes to the volume of data exchanged with Cloud App Discovery module. And although we understand that agent might not be the perfect way to discover that, we will shortly a way to do to get the same report through proxying. But if you want to know more about that, you can join the session on Friday that talks specifically about Cloud App Discovery. Let me go back to the presentation. And now that you have the means to identify if you are facing the challenge or not, I'm going to describe our solution in four different categories. First of all, I would like to share with you, to prove to you that Azure Active Directory can be your directory in the cloud. That one place that you can get together, that you can put together all your identities. Let's see how this is possible. First of all, we provide, and we provide that for a long period now, we provide all the means to synchronize and extend on-premises Active Directories to Azure AD. So we provide that. And probably you have heard different names for that capability. We started with the engine that was called DirSync, and that was really powerful and successful of onboarding single forests to Azure AD for a number of months now. But also, we provided other solutions like on-premises identity management solutions like FIM or Microsoft Identity Management tool that could bring together or synchronize your on-premises identities with Windows Server Active Directory. And actually, we also had a connector on FIM that could synchronize these other directories, the OpenLDAPs and the other third-party directories, with Azure AD. This was the case until today. And actually, you see up there that I don't have just single forest. I have multiple pyramids there that they represent multiple forests. We have introduced recently a new engine, Azure Active Directory Sync. So we had DirSync, we had FIMSync, we have introduced Azure AD Sync in order to synchronize complex environments from on-premises to Azure AD. And by synchronize, I mean to extend on-premises identities to being able to access cloud applications. But I understand that this is not something really easy to understand. I mean, having many different sync engines to do the same thing. So we came up with another solution, and 30% of you said that you remembered the solution from the keynote. And this solution is Azure AD Connect, Azure Active Directory Connect. One tool to connect all kinds of on-premises directories to Azure AD. Onboarding to Azure AD is now simpler than ever. You can use this tool, this wizard-driven tool, that can help you synchronize your on-premises identities to the cloud and access cloud applications, but also it will help you decide and configure the right authentication method for your hybrid environments. I will come back to that. So if you want to see the story I have just described in another slide, it's just that. From DirSync and Azure Active Directory Sync and FIMSync, we are moving to a new sync engine which is included on Azure Active Directory Connect. And with Azure Active Directory Connect, you have the choice to sync, but also to decide on which method of authentication you will use for your hybrid environments. ADFS is also well known. ADFS is also here for many years, and it will continue to be for many years. Seem to be the most, the most famous, the most used federation method among you. So you tend to confuse a few things and say and rethink that ADFS is the only way to authenticate in hybrid environments. I want to make sure that you understand that the only thing that you actually need is to sync. When it comes to authentication, ADFS is just an option. I want to be absolutely clear on that because, again, customers are never satisfied. Half of you love ADFS. The other half hate ADFS. So you get all kinds of complaints. ADFS is easy. Why you make that a big deal and you explain that again and again? That's just an option. And you have the others that are saying, no, we don't like ADFS. ADFS is hard. Find a simpler way to authenticate. So we are trying to satisfy everyone. It's hard, but I think we managed to do it this time. So let me go to the next slide and describe when you need sync, when you need ADFS, or an alternative method for authentication. So when you have an on-premises environment and you want to use the same set of credentials to access cloud applications, you can definitely need to sync your on-premises identities accounts to the cloud. And you have the option to sync with your accounts your passwords. And you can do that in a very secure way because we provide password synchronization or password has sync as an option. And actually, we don't synchronize your premises to Azure AD, or your password, sorry, to Azure AD. We synchronize the hash of the hash of your passwords. We synchronize a double encrypted form of your passwords with Azure AD. And with this model, you can provide single sign-on to applications to your users and authentication to them without ADFS. Is that clear? This is a perfect way to provide authentication and single sign-on without ADFS. Are we okay with that? Thank you. I will ask again. You really understood that ADFS is not needed? Okay. Both ADFS lovers and ADFS haters? Okay. But of course, ADFS is there. Because for some specific cases and scenarios that we have shared in a session later today, and I can share that with you again later, you can still just synchronize usernames from on-premises to the cloud, but use your all-time classic or the new version of ADFS for authentication. So you can just decide whatever you want. Synchronize the hashes of the passwords and get out of it in 2 minutes, or install ADFS or use an existing ADFS and have authentication on premises. It's up to you. We provide both scenarios. With both scenarios, your users will be able to single sign on to thousands of SaaS applications and millions of on-premises web applications. This is what Azure Active Directory can do. It can give you choices and can keep you all happy. ADFS is optional, okay? You get that? Okay. Now that we have resolved that thing, let's move to what else you can bring up there to your cloud. Because now you have your users, you have your groups, maybe you have your passwords, but what is coming? What else you can add? The other thing that you can add to your directory is the SaaS applications that you want to use. And this is one of the most powerful things that Azure Active Directory can offer. You can go to a gallery that we provide. We call it Active Directory Gallery. And through this gallery, you can search among all those thousands of pre-configured SaaS applications we support, click on them, and just bring them in to your Azure Active Directory. Today, we support 2,419 SaaS applications, and we add more and more every day. If you go to this gallery and you cannot find the SaaS application that you want, tell us about it. Send us an email. We have a link. Send us an email. And if this application is a real one and a normal one, we guarantee that we will add it to a queue that we have and we will put it in this platform. Our goal is to have in this platform all the popular SaaS applications of the world. And don't be afraid if they are localized and just in your country. It's in Chinese or in Turkish or, I don't know, in Japanese. We will add it there. So all the public, the popular SaaS applications you love will be in this gallery. You will click on them, and with 2 to 3 clicks, you will have them available for single sign-on for your end users. And that's a sample of these applications that we support. Business applications, Microsoft applications, consumer applications, everyone, friends or foes, are here. We support them all. But we don't just stop there. We recently announced more things. So, okay, we have almost 2,400 pre-integrated applications today, but what about other applications? And by other, I mean on-premises applications and custom applications. I will start with custom applications. You can build your line of business application, and we provide all the wizards and the templates that you need to add this custom application that only you are using to your Azure Active Directory tenant. But also, and this is really great, and I know that many of you were asking for that, any web application hosted on your infrastructure can be also present, can be also published through Azure AD. And the module that makes that happen is Azure Active Directory Application Proxy. We have also a special session for that. So, SaaS applications, on-premises applications, custom applications can be brought together in your Azure Active Directory tenant, and then you can provide access to them in the exact same way. I will show you a demo later on how the end user experience looks and feels for these guys. And let me have one more slide on web applications and Azure AD application proxy. How this thing works, how we can publish your on-premises applications through a cloud service on Azure. Actually, you need to install a connector. This connector is a really small piece of software. You install it in any kind of server on your premises. No need for DMZs or special prerequisites to install that. And this connector will create outbound traffic only from your premises to Azure AD. Outbound only. No more boring and stupid discussions with security officers. Which port exactly do you need me to open? None. It's not incoming traffic. It's only outbound. So, outbound traffic from a connector or more, you can install as many connectors as you like. The only request is that these connectors can have access to your resources. So from the machine that has the connector, I need to be able to access the application, the web application. I need to be able to resolve the URL name. So this is how this thing works. And these connectors will get the requests from the outside clients, and they will create outbound traffic from on-premises applications to the cloud. So the external users will go to Azure AD, and they will be able to see next to Office 365 and next to Salesforce and Google and Box, they will be able to see all their known on-premises applications. From SharePoint farms on premises to web applications, and I'm using this as the most special example, you can have a Unix application on Apache. You can publish this Unix application from Apache on Azure Active Directory. There is no limitation on that. And recently, actually yesterday, we announced that we provide pre-authentication and single sign-on and user and group assignment to these on-premises applications. So I think that this feature only almost doubles the value of Azure Active Directory from single sign-on to SaaS applications to single sign-on to any application. No limits anymore. Not even sky is the limit now. We can go back to the ground. Now, is this easy to be managed? Is this easy to manage all these applications and users? I think yes. We provide a really comprehensive console to manage users, groups, synchronizations, and applications for all types. But also, we provide something else. For the applications that support that, we can do something really powerful. Imagine that you have 1,000 new users on your on-premises Active Directory, and you want to provide them access to an application like Salesforce or Box. To do that in a traditional environment, you have to go to Box and Salesforce and create those accounts one by one. I fall again and no one warned me, okay? So you have to go to this console, to Salesforce, let's say, and create the user either one by one or by bulk tools, I don't know. And then come back to your on-premises Active Directory and either federate or create new users. With Azure Active Directory, and for those applications that support that, we can actually provide provisioning of users and groups. So you can create a user on your on-premises Active Directory, synchronize that user or group to Azure AD, and this user will be created directly to the SaaS application. By creating a user to your on-premises, you can see him after a few minutes created in Salesforce and Box and Dropbox and any other application that supports that. And with provisioning goes deprovisioning. So you can create those users, and with the same method, by disabling them on your on-premises Active Directory or Azure AD, you will see them disabled on all those SaaS applications that support that. So it's really easy to manage all those thousand SaaS applications and on-premises applications that you want to use by this console. What about security and monitoring, though? I mean, we promised that this is not going to be just something really easy to use, but also secure. Because single sign-on tends to be something that many people provide, many vendors provide. But what about security? What about monitoring? Azure Active Directory has the power of Azure itself. It has built-in security features and a number of reports, machine learning-based reports and alerts that understand the patterns of usage of your users. And if they see something strange, they report that. They alert you. So you get reports that let you know for all the suspicious activities that your end users are having on accessing cloud applications. I will go and show you a report for that, a demo for that later. But again, monitoring these things is one thing. Yes, I saw that Nasos has a suspicious behavior. He's trying to access the same application from Greece and Spain in 5 minutes. So obviously something is wrong with this guy. Can I do something? I'm telling you that from this report, from this alert, you can do something. You can block him by resetting his password, or you can enable multi-factor authentication for him. Azure Active Directory includes multi-factor authentication. And you can say that I'm not sure that this guy is bad or not, but besides his username and password, I need him to provide a second factor. And this second factor for for us, at least for Azure Active Directory, can work in three different ways. We have a mobile application available to all mobile platforms, Android, iOS, Windows mobiles, and through this application, you can either get push notifications and get that message to use it as a second factor, or use this application as a software token that creates one-time passwords, so you can use your mobile phone and this application as a software token that will create one-time passwords as second factor to log in along with your username and password. You can use your mobile phone or any kind of phone to receive a phone call, so you register a phone number on Azure AD, and every time you log in and your administrator wants you to, you have to answer your phone and provide a way that proves your identity, or use a text message on your mobile phone. So that's how multi-factor authentication works and can be an additional factor of security on top of username and passwords to help you protect access to your applications. Now, we promised that besides IT departments, we will deal with end users. These guys are really important for you and for us. They must be able to do their job easily, because if this is not the case, they will not follow the new rules. They will not adopt the new technology. We must make their lives easier, and we do that. We provide a single glass. It's called myapps.microsoft.com, or you can find it as an application for iOS. It's called MyApps, again, easy to remember. And from this application, they can log in with their work credentials, with their Active Directory credentials, and perhaps single sign-on to all the applications. You see how this looks. You can go on this URL, and you will get access with a simple click to all the cloud applications that you want. And that is accessible from many different browsers and devices. But also, you can change your password, manage security settings of your account from that, or do even more. Self-service capabilities are added in this URL. And what self-service capabilities we are talking about? First of all, self-service group management. You can request access to specific groups. But one really cool thing that I believe worth that just for that to get the service is self-service password reset. Imagine that. From your mobile phone and everywhere, you can log in or you can go to this page, myapps.microsoft.com, and if your administrator has set up this policy, you can reset your password. Imagine that. You can reset your password, and this change can be reflected to your on-premises Active Directory. I cannot log into my domain machine, but I can reset my password from my mobile phone, and this change will be reflected, and my domain password is going to be changed in a few seconds. No implementations of difficult and complicated tools. Just an online service can allow that. Self-service password reset with on-premises write back. Now, I've said in the beginning that we should not forget that besides IT departments and end users, we also provide a solution for developers. Developers, application builders, can rely on Azure Active Directory for the authentication and the authorization part of their applications. So you can see there a bunch of identity standards and protocols that can be used in order to have authentication and authorization in any kind of application. We provide all the SDKs and libraries and APIs for free. All the things that are needed for developers to have authentication and authorization through Azure AD are completely free. Let us see a few things on a demo. I forgot to say that you can Ask whatever you want at any time. And we have a microphone. If someone wants to answer something, we have a microphone and we will bring it to you. So, I want to start with the end user experience, because everything that we do up here, everything that we configure at the back on the management console and stuff, it has only one purpose: to provide single sign-on for end users. So what end users will see? If you remember the portal that you can go, it's called myapps.microsoft.com. I was there, and let's suppose just for the demo that I'm Julia. And Julia now will use the credentials that she's using every day to log in to her domain join machine, for example, to access this URL. Let's suppose that the company is Condozo Build. And now she's going to provide her password. You see, this is an Azure Active Directory premium feature. When the environment realizes that Julia is a proper user of Condozo Build, it changed the environment. So now Julia knows that she's in the right place. The colors, the pictures, the logos are their company ones. So she knows where she is. And she wants to access her application, so she will provide her password. And by clicking there, no, the password is wrong. And by clicking there, she thinks that she's okay, but she's not, because her administrator said that I really want you to provide a verification code that will come as a text message to your phone. So you cannot see that, you believe me. I just received a message with a code. And if you remember, this is one of the three methods that we can use with MFA. It could be a phone call, I used the code. So I'm going to add the code here. And please see that I can suspend MFA for a number of days coming from my administrator. And I can say that because if I'm coming all the time from the same machine and browser, I have the choice, if the admin wants me to say, remember me for one day, for 60 days, for 14 days, and avoid that second factor. And this is what the end user gets: a screen with all the applications. And as I told you, we started with cloud applications only. So it was only Office 365 at the beginning. Single sign-on to Office 365, great. But more business applications were added. Box, let's say. And of course, consumer applications like Twitter. And we also said that with application proxy, you can have access to on-premises application like this SharePoint Farm, or your website here. Where is my website? Here. So let's go back and see what happened. Single sign-on to my Outlook mailbox. SharePoint Online. My box page. So my data sharing application, which is for businesses, it's here too. You see my files? Julia's files, actually. You see? Julia. And let's say, let's go to the SharePoint on-premises farm. I have access to that too. This is a SharePoint on-premises. This is not online. And a random web application that is hosted on-premises, it's here too. But also Twitter. Why I left Twitter last? Because this is not the personal Twitter of Julia. This is the Twitter account of her company. I know that many companies are using Twitter as a really serious application for marketing or other purposes. So if you want to use Twitter like that, you have to create accounts on Twitter and share the password to employees. And then if you fire someone or change his position, you have to change the password. Not anymore. With Azure Active Directory, you can match the password of Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or Netflix or I don't know, just name it, with his organizational ID. He will never know the actual password Only the admin knows this password. And he will be able to access his Twitter, the company Twitter and stuff like that, only through Azure Active Directory. But let's see another self-service capability. Let me take you to the Groups tab. From the Groups tab, the end user can see the groups that he has created, or she, and also check all the groups that she's member of, or all the groups, all the security groups that are available in this Azure Active Directory. But why do I need to care about groups? What I gain from these groups in Azure Active Directory? You get more application access. So if you go to the application tab for Julia, you can see that she has many applications, but she really wants to have access to DocuSign. And DocuSign is not here. So she's looking a little bit. DocuSign is not here. Let's find a group that will give me access to DocuSign. So if you go to all groups, you will see that we have a group here that says DocuSign app users. It's really easy to understand from the description and the title that members of this group have access to DocuSign. So what Julia can do here? She can say, I would really like to join this group. And by saying that, a request will go to the owner of the group. And believe me, an email now will go to the owner of this group. And if Julia wants to see how her request is going, she can go to the Approvals tab, My Requests, and she can see that her request for the DocuSign app user group is here. So she just have to wait. Let's go to the other guy, to the owner of the group. This is Nasos. Nasos is the owner of the group. And he has already got an email to his account. But again, he can go to Approvals, and he has to check the same thing, but not request now, Approvals. You see, Julia has requested access to that group. So because she wants to do that, she can click on the request and click Approve. Yes, Approve. So now I have approved the request of Julia, and let's see what happens to Julia's end user experience. Julia can go back. Let's allow a few seconds to refresh. If she goes again to her requests, the request is not here anymore, so no DocuSign here. You can see that, no DocuSign here. And let's go to the application. You understand I'm stalling now. I'm waiting a little bit until it refreshes. So we are okay. You see here, it says your applications have been updated. I click here to refresh, and guess what? DocuSign is here. Access to a new application through accessing groups. No administrator was involved, at least not in this phase. Self-service group management that takes you to access to more applications with a few clicks from the end user experience. And as I said, from the profile, you can set a number of security settings here, change the method that you use for multi-factor authentication, change your password, or configure the reset password method that you want to use. But let's go to that reset password thing. Let's suppose now that Julia has forgotten her password. I will log in again as Julia. And although she has access to DocuSign now, she's not remembering her, she doesn't remember her password. So now she can click here, can't access your account. And she will go to a screen, again familiar with her logo. And after proving that she's not a machine, and I think I had it right from the first time, it's not that easy, you know. Now you can see that I'm in front of three choices. And I'm in front of three choices because my admin wants me to. And he says, Dear Julia, if you want to reset your password, you have to use one of these methods or two of these methods. So please either receive a phone call or a text message or an email to an alternative email account. Now I will use the phone call. So let's say, please call me to my phone in order to be able to reset my password. I have to prove that I remember my phone. And I said that you can have two of these methods, both the phone call and the email. It's up to the admin to enforce that. And I'm saying call, and now we are waiting for a phone call here. Okay, here's the phone. I'm answering.
Thank you for using Microsoft's sign-in verification system. Please press the pound key to finish your verification. If you do not initiate this verification, someone may be trying to access your account.
I'm not sure that you're listening exactly what this nice lady says, but she says, Julia, if it was you, press pound to go on with the password reset. But if it wasn't you, press £0 to block your account because someone is trying to reset your password or access your things. So I can either reset my password by using a phone call or block my account, but if I that's a random phone call in the middle of the night and I have no clue who is calling me. So now I can reset my password through this screen, and imagine that this screen can be on your mobile phone, and by doing that, that password can be written back to my on-premises. Now, let me take you to the admin experience. And the administrator experience is coming through the Azure Management Portal. So I'm going to the all-time classic management portal of Azure. I'm scrolling down to the Active Directory part. And you can see that I have all kinds of directories here. And in my Contoso Hybrid Directory, I can go here and see that I have users of all kinds. Users that are coming from on-premises directories with sync or cloud users. The same goes for groups. The same goes for applications. But I will let my colleagues tomorrow to go in details on how you can add applications here. We have a very detailed presentation on that with more demos tomorrow. And I want really to focus on reporting today. So we have a really rich set of reports. And let me go to the right directory. You can see reports from unknown resources. And that means that someone that is trying to hide his IP is accessing my stuff. He might be using an anonymizer or multiple proxy servers to hide his IP. I can identify that and get that information. I can get the multiple geographies report. So the one I shared with you before. You can see that Julia, let's say, is trying to access the same thing from San Francisco and Barcelona between 5 minutes, while the travel time is 16 hours. That might not be nothing. She might be using a remote desktop session, or it might be suspicious. So you have the chance to enable multi-factor authentication, reset your password and block her, or ignore this event because you know what is happening. And also other reports that you can see here, suspicious activities. And by suspicious, we mean activities that are not usual for a specific user. And that will bring me to something really important that I really like to show. Sign-ins from possibly infected devices. Let us see what we have here. Here we say, it says that Abby, coming from this IP and a Windows 8 machine, and especially from China, she signed in to your resources, to this customer's resources, from a machine that was reported infected recently. So from a possibly infected device. How is it possible to know that? I mean, okay, Microsoft knows a lot of things, but how we can know that? How we can identify that the machine was infected a few weeks ago without scanning the machine? Any ideas? Sorry? Asking Windows Defender will be a great idea, but if you ask Windows Defender, this machine is clean. because Defender has cleaned the virus. So no need to bug the administrator with that. But it's a great idea, though. So let me share with you the secret. We have a digital crime unit, a really great part of Microsoft in Redmond that is making war with the bad guys out there. So they are trying to help the authorities all over the world to identify bots and malicious software all over the world. And they are using a number of honeypots for that. So machines that are unprotected are out there and trying to be infected. And you know that's really easy. After a while, these machines are infected. And the digital crime unit is going to these machines and identify from which IP they get the new infection. From which IP they get the bot or configure or zero access in our case. And by gathering all this information from all over the world in one database, we can then go and see that the same IP that was infected a few days ago is trying to access your machine, your resources. So we are getting this global knowledge and sharing it back with you. This is something that only a global vendor can do, So that's how you can get this great report that no one else can give you. Possibly infected device. Think of the power of it. And again, we don't make actions directly because this machine can be cleaned. So it's up to you again to say, I would like to take some actions. Block this user, MFA for this user, or ignore because I know that it was infected and I cleaned it up. So this is a really powerful report. And also I want to just show you that we have auditing reports. You see, audit reports that they can identify all the administrative actions that took place in this tenant. And also, I want to go to a report that it's not here, it's hidden. It's not hidden, it's not obvious where it is. And this is on the groups tab. Let me take you to the groups tab. So here you can see that for a given group, let's say DocuSign group, you remember this group. If I go to this group, I can go to the activity tab. And this is a new report which is in preview, as you can see. And from this report, I can see all the activity that happened to a specific group. Who was a member, who was a request for access, who approved access to this group. So a pretty rich set of security reports. Of course, all those things are great, but is it possible for you to try this thing? Is it possible for you to check all the things that I have shared with you that are possible and really easy to implement? The answer is yes, and I really want, after our presentation, to go and check it. So you can go to any kind of Azure subscription, any kind. Trial, MSDN related, your existing production one, and go to the Active Directory tab, and either go to an existing directory or just create a new one, let's say a trial directory. And on this directory, you can create users and groups and play with applications. But if you go to the licensing tab, let me go to the other directory. Now, that's the right directory. If you go to the licensing tab, you can see this. Try Azure Active Directory Premium. You will see in the next slide that Azure Active Directory Premium is our hero offering. It has everything I talked about today. You can click on this link, and after accepting the rules, you will find yourself with 100 licenses for 90 days. So you can get 100 user licenses for 3 months in one directory, and you can create more and more and more directories, and test if all these capabilities that I have shared with you are real and really easy to implement. It's definitely easy to do that. So please use that trial. Now, allow me to go back to my presentation and share with you the slide with the additions. Because while I was talking, I was describing almost every capability that is out there. And those capabilities you can see are in the column that says Azure Active Directory Premium. So all the things that I have shared with you and others that I didn't have the time to share with you are included in Azure Active Directory Premium. But we have a smaller SKU that it's called Basic and has those blue line things. But also, please remember that we have a free edition and that our free edition is going also with Office 365. So if you have Office 365, you already have Azure Active Directory and you cannot get rid of it, okay? Office 365 and Outlook and Azure AD are really close. You cannot separate that or pretend that you don't see Azure AD. It's there. And it can give you all those free capabilities. And if you are in the Office 365 column, you are getting these capabilities plus an SLA plus multi-factor authentication. So while multi-factor authentication is a paid offering and it's included in premium or standalone, you can get it for Office 365 only if you have a paid version of Office 365. So these are the three area, the three editions of Azure Active Directory. And if you see, all the things that we have discussed today are included in premium, less in basic, and others in free. But listen to that. This is really good news, I believe. Premium, basic, or free. It's not a state of the directory. It's a state of a user or the administrator. So if you have 10,000 users, you can have 5,000 premium licenses because you need the premium stuff for 5,000 people. You can get 3,000 basic ones and 2,000 free. You can have any combination of licenses that you want, the same tenant. And if you remember that, if you have listened that to other sessions, if you are aware of that, Azure Active Directory is also part of Enterprise Mobility Suite. With Enterprise Mobility Suite, you get Azure Right Management Services, Intune, and Premium in one license. So again, you can have a few EMS licenses and premium and basic and free all together in the same directory. So you don't have to decide right away that you need premium for all your users, although we will be really happy if you decide that, as you can imagine. Okay. So, but yes, enough said for the current status. Enough said for now. What about the future? What is your roadmap? Our roadmap, what we plan to implement. Let's have a few slides on that. Some of the things are already announced. Some other things are just plans for the next 12 months. So if you see here, we have some plans. I want to make absolutely clear that the things you see here are not commitments. And the place of those small clouds in that line are completely random. So it's not that administrative units will come before business to consumers or whatever. It's just a way to represent what is coming. So the things that are coming are administrative units. I will talk about them in a while. Business to business, business to consumer capabilities. But also, we have two more things that I don't have a specific slide, and let me explain a little bit what I mean here. Device registration and conditional access. Conditional access is those policies that you will be able to build and say that if a specific user is coming from a specific set of IPs and a managed device or a registered device, he will be able to access specific groups of applications. So you will be able to mix and match all those criteria, like is your device managed? Is your device registered? Is your device coming from a specific IP? If yes or no, different actions will take place. You can have access to this application, or in order to have access to this application, you need a second factor of authentication, or whatever. This is what conditional access will be. But let's see administrative units. Right now, on Azure Active Directory, we have only one kind of administrator. Either you are a global administrator and you can do everything, or no access. You can understand that that's not the greatest thing in the world. So we will come with administrative units. So now, administrators will be able to manage specific things only in Azure AD. That will give a separation of authority, a role-based access control on Azure Active Directory. Another thing that many customers were asking is this: business-to-business collaboration through Azure AD. If you see the nice representation at the bottom of the slide, it shows your Azure Active Directory in the middle and on-premises Active Directories and other cloud directories, not yours, your partners around you, and you can have a kind of federation, let's say, between Azure Active Directories that will allow your business partners to have access to your resources. So this is an investment that is coming in the next 12 months on Azure Active Directory. Business-to-business collaboration. And it's okay if your business partner doesn't have access to Azure AD. She can has only an on-premises directory. We will allow that kind of collaboration too. So if you want to share a resource on-premises or cloud resource, a cloud application or an on-premises application with your partners, you will be able to do that in a really simple way through Azure Active Directory. This is a really powerful capability. Many of you have asked that, so I really think that you will be happy to hear about that. Another set of capabilities that are really asked for from hundreds of customers, really, is business to consumer. Because if you think of it, all the addition I have shared with you until now, free, basic, premium, are mainly for the employees of organizations. Your people in your Active Directory. People that have the same mail domain account with you. What about your customers? What about the consumers that want to access your e-commerce sites? Your sites that require sign-in. You can imagine that buying from them, for them, premium licenses can be difficult. Or, of course, imagine having millions, hundreds of millions of consumers in your Active Directory on-premises. I don't think that's a nice thing to imagine. So all those millions of users can be members of an Azure Active Directory version that will be called B2C. With B2C, you will be able to provide self-service capabilities, security offer, settings, and social ID login to your consumers so they can come to your e-commerce site, decide with which username and password they want to log in, choose to protect it with multi-factor authentication or not, and then buy from you or, I don't know, whatever they do with your e-commerce site or your website. This is going to be a new offering only for your consumers. And the last thing that you have seen during the keynote is cloud domain join. When Windows 10 will come, we will offer an option for every machine with Windows 10 to skip joining a domain on premises and join a domain on Azure AD directly. This will be all available, as you can imagine, with Windows 10. You saw that on the keynote session. So let's put all the things together. We have promised in the beginning of the session that we will explain all the aspects of Azure Active Directory. I really tried to do that. I know that I throw to you hundreds of different informations and details, but this is the key message of Azure Active Directory. A single identity broker that can extend your on-premises directories to access cloud applications and on-premises applications in a secure and robust way. This is the offering. This is the value proposition. And I really think that it's easy to implement it. It's an online service. You can just go and try it and be and check it by yourselves. And be sure that this thing can give you the access to the cloud applications and the on-premises applications you want. And again, I want to say that although I understand that the vast majority, almost everyone in this room, might really like the hybrid version of it, so extend on-premises directories to the cloud, and we can do that. We can also help you go cloud only, if this is your choice, for your company or a small department of your company. We definitely can do cloud-only access to all these applications. But, of course, the full value proposition is this hybrid model. Extend on-premises identities to the cloud. And I want to remind you also that the best way to deal with it, to get this thing, is through this suite, Enterprise Mobility Suite, that has both identity, not both, that has identity, Intune, and Right Management Services in one. Are there any questions? It's the first time that I have such a silent audience. Come on. You are astonished from the service. What happened? That's true. You are my new favorite customer. Stay, listen.
Thanks. The single sign-on that you showed took us through that portal where the user got...
Myapps.microsoft.com.
Yeah. Is that essential part of the solution, or can users have a favorite that takes them straight to the application they want? And also, what about rich client applications?
A great question. So, we have, as I think I mentioned that, but let me say that again. We have a number of different ways to integrate with applications. So, we guarantee single sign-on to applications, but we can do that in many different ways, mainly because not all those SaaS applications are the same. So we support pure federation with many of these applications. For those applications that we support federation, then you can go directly to the site and log in, like Office 365. You can go directly to the Office 365 app and get access, directly to Box, to Google Apps, to Jive, to ServiceNow. Those are federated applications. For applications like Twitter or Facebook or other hundreds of applications that don't support federation, you cannot do that. If you go directly to Twitter with your domain credentials, Twitter will say, I have no clue who you are. So for these applications, you must go through the access panel. Is that clear? Yes, Steve. Can you say that one more time? I didn't hear that. The microphone to Steve. Steve is the lead of our developers and engineers. So. He knows more for the future.
Okay. Don't talk me up too much here.
Okay.
No, we're going to be launching capability to embed deep links to the password SSO-based applications into your own portal. So you won't be able to go straight to Twitter and sign in with your domain account, but you will be able to embed apps like Twitter into your, say, your own corporate intranet, your SharePoint, whatever.
Okay. We have a question here. So the question is, and leave it there because I think that Steve will help me again. The question was, are we going to support XAML 2? Eran, come on, you are not just carrying the microphone. You can answer that yourself. Eran is also from the product group.
Do you want to go back to the standard slide?
Yes.
I'll answer that way.
To which slide you said?
The standards one. It's about halfway through. What are you doing? Okay, the answer is yes.
Okay.
When he gets there, you'll see. It was up there before. Cool? XAML 2 is already supported.
You create the drama out of it. I'm the Greek. You had the drama.
Thank you.
How is it licensed?
How is it licensed, you said?
Yeah, that's yours.
Okay, so... see your account representative. That will be my answer too. So the question is how this thing is licensed. It's really simple. You have to have an enterprise agreement with Microsoft. You go to your account manager and you said, I need that great product that Nasus presented. And he said, don't be afraid, I will add it to your enterprise agreement. Soon, we will have ways to buy it in a simpler way, with your credit card or through open contracts. But for now, and for the next few months, you will be able to add it only through an enterprise agreement.
Based on per user.
That's a great question also. How you can get that? It's per authentication, how it's charged, the charging is. So it's per user per month. For every user you have it, for 1 month, we have a specific price, okay? Which is really low, I mean, don't be afraid. But I cannot share it. Any other question? With that, I want to thank you very much for your time. Thank you.